Hi, I'm Kat, marketer turned brand storyteller.
And I'm Candace, educator turned entrepreneur.
And you're listening to
Not Nice, Clever.
We're two introverts who speak on stages around the country and work with top personal brands who also unapologetically require 24 to 48 hours of recovery time on the couch in our favorite sweats, all Netflix and no chill.
And to be clear, we're not quiet or nice. Together, we're redefining what it means to be an introvert who means business. It's time to show up and show off. Are you in?
In today's episode of Not Nice Clever, we are talking about designing your digital presence so that your online brand can support and reflect and do the selling for you as an introverted entrepreneur, which if you've been a part of our Clever crew for quite some time, you know that Candace and I are introverts. That has not changed. We'll let you know if it does. And we have learned and loved and appreciated how putting a certain image or a certain message or making sure that our digital presence is reflective of the types of people we want to work with, the types of business we want to be hired for, so that by the time somebody actually gets to us, there's no small talk, there's no chit chat, there's no selling happening. There's the where do I sign? So if you want more where do I sign energy, this full episode is for you. So Candace, I know you mentioned this is something you're working into your latest keynote that you put together. Yes. You've already delivered. Where do we start?
So let's start with creating an image in your mind. So I introduced this image in my last keynote in Phoenix, actually, where it's just a triangle. And on the base of the triangle in the bottom left corner, imagine that says experience/experiences. On the bottom right of the triangle, it says skills and knowledge. Those are the foundations. That's the base for your brand. But at the top, at the peak of the triangle, it's perception. Mm. And what a lot of people are getting wrong is the perception. So let me explain. If you are already established in your industry, particularly if you've been in business for 5+ years and you have had a track record of success with your clients, like if you go to the grocery store and people are like, oh my gosh, like it was great to see you. It's great to work with you. Or my friend just worked with you. If you're like that person in your community and people know you, they like you, they trust you, and you have the skills to back it up. But if I Google your name, I wouldn't understand that you already have the know, like, and trust factor and that you already have a track record of success with your previous clients. You're definitely missing out on opportunities. And we hate that. We hate leaving money on the table. Mm-hmm. So my whole keynote talk was, how do you get your experiences and experience in the industry, your knowledge and skills available in the online space, mm-hmm. so that people can perceive that you actually know what you're talking about, but not just perceive, like actually know it.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite quotes, and I've probably said it here 1,000 times, but it's by Rory Vaden. He says, your personal brand is the digitization of your reputation.
Mm-hmm. Great quote.
Yeah, that is such a great quote because we all have an understanding of a reputation. Our parents taught us about having a good reputation, the reputation of our family, right? We all want to keep that in line. Like that's something that we've heard, right?
Can of worms. Let's leave that for another episode.
Is that just because I'm Latina or is that everyone? I don't know.
I mean, no. Italiana, japonesa, like literally. Family.
So what's happening a lot in the type of clients that are hopping on calls with me are clients who are saying, Candace, I'm just annoyed because like these newbie agents are hopping on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and acting like they know about the industry and they're getting all these clients. And I'm not getting as many clients because, you know, no one's calling me, but they're trusting these people who are making content. And I was like, well, your audience doesn't perceive you as the expert. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is you actually have the knowledge and skills and experience to back it up.
That's the irony.
That's the irony, right? So how do we take that and put it in a format that would allow someone to find us, that would allow someone to binge our content and be like, they are definitely the one for me. Because by the time Kat and I get on calls, people are acting like they know us and we've never seen their faces before. Mm-hmm. People are like bringing up stories that we've told on the podcast that we forgot we ever told, but have hit and resonated with them. So my whole talk is about how you take your knowledge, skills, experience, and experiences as a human, and put them out into the world by creating content, collaborating with people, And knowing your clients, which is the third C.
The clients,
who is that person and what do they want and need and what's their problem? Because once you have an understanding of who your clients are, you have an understanding of how to share content in a way that speaks to them. Mm-hmm. And then you're creating collaborations that allow you to expand your network intentionally with the right people who maybe share similar values, have a similar approach to their work. Then you're going to be connected with the people that are the most primed to work with you, that you're most excited to work with, and not those clients who you're like, oh, I'll take them. But
right. And then that ends up costing you.
They're not exactly my vibe.
Yeah. In so many other ways. We won't measure or count those ways. No, I think this is so useful because it's funny. So we recently got back from a podcast conference in LA, and it's so fun when you go to a conference with your bestie because then you can divide and conquer with the breakout session. So you actually get to attend double. And you guys know Candace. Candace was like, Kat, you're going to show up here at 2:15 and listen to that because it's Sonny. And like, I know you'll like him because you like Christo. So like, go. I'm like, yes, ma'am. So I go and I attend. And Sunyi, if you do not know of him yet, definitely follow him on Instagram, S-U-N-Y-I. We'll put his handle in the show notes. He gave a great talk. And there was one thing that really stood out to me that might resonate with some of the more established clients that we work with that are kind of like bucking this. They're like, but what, Candace, Kat, why do I have to do this now? Like, I didn't always have to do it.
Ooh, yes.
Right? That's the past. We don't build on the past for the future. But anyway, so Sunyi had this great analogy where he talked about how historically, evolutionarily, we came from living in villages. We were very community and communal oriented, which is why I love your prioritization and passion for community because it's literally in our DNA. And he was saying how, you know, you've heard this phrase of you can only maintain 150 relationships, right, at any given time. We've heard that, right? In database building, we've heard that in networking, like what's your top 50, your top 100, your top 150. After that, you just forget. And the reason being, because we came from living in small communities where there was maybe 150 people and we knew every single person. And we knew, oh, that, you know, he's the wise old man or she's the honest one or he's a liar. Don't trust him. These are examples that Sunyi was sharing. I remember thinking, I'm like, that's so true. And a lot of the clients that come to us, they're already doing that. They're already the village elder, the community go-to, but offline. And that has worked for centuries. We're not disputing that. We're also not telling you to stop that. But the game has changed. There is the internet. There is digital now. It doesn't seem like it's going away anytime soon. So if you are not going to leverage it, you will be, in some respects, left behind. Your business might be fine, but it might not be scalable. It might not be automated. It might not be able to afford you the lifestyle that you want. And so finding a way, and I love the triangle that you came up with, Candace, to like bridge your community perception of yourself with what the online perception is, the closer those two are, the stronger your business. Got to bring them together. They're like super, there's a massive schism, right? And how do we bring it together? Bring it together like this, right?
Yes. And there's tiny things that you can do throughout your day that will help bridge that gap, that will help bring that together. And something as simple as, I tell my clients in the content lab this, just put your daily agenda in your Instagram story.
Yes.
That's one simple tip.
I love seeing that.
It's going to take you 2 minutes. And what it does is lets people know, hey, she's actually in business. She's doing cool stuff. She's meeting with cool people. She cares about her community. Yes. You might write on there that you're doing Popeyes with your clients or that you're recording a podcast or that you're meeting with so-and-so who actually that person might know and be like, oh, they know so-and-so. Oh, that's an instant trust builder. Mm-hmm. And it's a tiny little thing that's not going to take too much of your time, but will help your audience to have a better understanding of who you are. It might even be that you're going to your kid's soccer game that you had to stop at Starbucks and get your 3 o'clock cold brew because you have 10 more things to do after that. And it's so tiny, but it lets people know who you are, mm-hmm. what you're about, what you're doing.
It also indirectly tells people exactly what to refer you for, exactly what type of work you're doing, right? If all Candace and I are putting out that we're personal brand consultants and speakers and podcasters, and that's all we're saying, do you think somebody's going to come hire us to produce their event? No. You kidding me?
No.
Produce an event? No, that's right. Not my circus, not my monkeys. But if you want me to come speak at that event, if you want us to do a workshop at that event, yes, please. And we're also going to remind you on a weekly basis in our agenda, right? It's like we don't have to have that direct conversation of here's how I can help you. We're showing, we're not telling.
That is so huge, getting to that place of showing, not telling. Mm-hmm. So I think that the telling part is the part where a lot of people get tripped up because they're like, well, how do I say this? And instead of how do I say this, maybe you're just like, how do I show this? And there's less pressure because we just have a picture from our conference that we were just at. I'm going to post that today. That's in my plan.
Yeah.
Posting a few pictures probably from the conference, and then guaranteed people are going to be in my DMs. People are going to comment and be like, oh, tell me more about that conference.
Yeah.
Already people have said that. Like, I went to a podcast conference. They're like, what is a podcast conference? Or who goes to a podcast conference? Or I even know podcasters who didn't even know that this existed who are like, tell me more, Candace.
Mm-hmm.
So just letting people know the things that you're doing is going to start conversations that you didn't expect to happen that can lead to opportunities and just deeper relationship building in general.
So true. And it's easy, right? It's indirect. It's passive, but it's also intentional, which for me as an introvert feels great because then I don't ever feel like I'm pitching. I just feel like I'm sharing and I'm letting like the opportunities come to me because of what I'm putting out. Like it's like this lovely like back and forth that's not like, oh my gosh, if I don't have 15 consults booked on my calendar and I convert them at 25 or they show up 50% and then I convert them at 33% and then what's my revenue? Blah, 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 blah. Like that's just exhausting to me. I don't want to operate business like that.
It is. You don't want to operate business like that. But if you're focusing on relationships, you'll be able to easily operate your business and like have an expectation. I know that's how many people approximately are always going to book consultations with me on a weekly basis. I know my conversion rate.
Yeah.
Not because I'm like hyper focused on it has to happen, but because I show up so regularly with things that my audience likes.
You're doing all the other things.
Yeah, that I know what's a natural cadence. Now, if I ever do want more than that, then I know I probably have to layer in new things.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's fine. It's a choice.
It's a choice.
It is. And so some of you might be thinking, well, how do I show the thing that I do? Because the thing that I do feels like not something that can easily be shown.
Mm.
So if you are a hairstylist, you can just even show that the new products that you're going to be using just got shipped to you and your box opening, unboxing, mm-hmm. a haul perhaps.
Yeah.
And you can share why you love the products and who you're excited to use them for, or tiny little things. You can show yourself preparing your chair for the next client and put some text on the screen and just share why you're excited to talk to this person or what you get from being in that experience. I know that doing someone's hair is more than just doing their hair, right? It's like making people feel good about themselves. It's about like cutting off that breakup hair or whatever, right? Like it's more.
That breakup. Did you just have a girlfriend recently do it? Because that like chop the hair, change your life.
I hear it all the time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Chop your hair, change your life. I love it. But yeah, like it's more than that. So how do you tell the story of it being more than that instead of just simply like a photo of the back of someone's head?
No, I think the text on screen is great. I think just even something like, you guys don't have to overthink it. One of the things from one of the breakout sessions I attended by Sunyi, another example was him talking about how, and this one kind of challenged me because you guys know I love to go deep. You guys know I love the nuance, but he basically said he's like in social. So we're talking social specifically, right? We're not talking about like searchable presence, email, website, but social. He's like, there's no room for nuance. He's like, keep it simple. Keep it general. And of course, my deep ass over here, I was like, no, that's unacceptable. But then I was like, wait. Because then he was like, the nuance comes into with your long form email communication or your hour long podcast conversation, right? Like we're having conversations right now and we go so deeply into this. But how we would show that on social would be maybe just detailing out, you know, like the initial three tips we recommend for a client to increase their presence so that they can garner more business. And we know that it's like not that simple on the surface level, but that's like the next right step. And then if they want more information, they can listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter and like get more deep into it. But I think start simple, right? Like you can have nuance, but like if you are just in this beginning process, getting started is more important. Candace, you're smiling. What do you want to say?
I think that the biggest piece of advice that I would give besides just taking people along for the journey is take a stance.
Oh, yes, please.
Because if you give, and I only know this because I've been creating content for, I don't know, at least 5 years now. And this has been a journey for me. I'm like, there's 100 ways to do this. There's 100 platforms that you can use to send out an email. There's 100, welcome sequences you can do. But what I'm doing now instead is like, use this. do that because I'm taking away some decision fatigue. And instead of being like, oh, here's all the ways you can do it, pick one that works for you, which is what I used to do. I'm just honing in on the one thing and letting them run with it. Now, if in use or in practice that doesn't work for them, they might discover that there's another option. But I'd rather them start and then feel that than give them too many options so that they're overwhelmed. So I'm really thinking more in like this. I think I'm in my sixth year of entrepreneurship now. And in my coaching, I'm really honing in on just here's the exact framework I want you to use. In 3 months, if you decide that this is not the platform for you, then we can talk about that then. But let's just get started and see how it feels first.
Now, I remember us having this conversation and thinking, you know, but we want to not think for you, but I think that there's value in removing the decision fatigue. And so, you know, you've been listening to this episode and like we've been telling you things that we want you to do. If you identify as being an introvert, but you have the entrepreneurial bug, which in my experience, once you've gotten bitten, it's really hard to like unsee behind the curtain. You're like, no, 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 I see the wizard. I know what's going on. Like, I'm not going to turn back, right? But also you're not going to magically not be an introvert overnight. Leverage these things. Like maybe even just start by writing down your skills and like the things that are super easy, second nature muscle memory to you, because I guarantee you they are not common sense. They're not easy for others. And that might be a great place to start where you can show what you're really good at and just know like writing it down. Like I go through this exercise regularly, like just honing in like what I can offer and what specific tangible things I can use to demonstrate my expertise and showing it, right? But like if you don't know, like I know you know a lot, but have you written it down and have you actually like seen it? Like, oh yeah, somebody could hire me for that. And then you go to your social presence or your searchable presence and you're like, wow, that doesn't exist anywhere there.
No one knows. Yeah.
Nobody knows. No wonder no one's hiring you. Yeah. It's not because you're terrible or whatever mental tape you have. It's just that nobody knows. So I feel like there's a song there we could cue in, but we'll refrain. So yeah, I agree with that. Start and figure it out as you go.
You're out there building your personal brand and you also have a team relying on you. But if your people don't know how to fish for themselves, the burden of new business always falls on you. Ouch, no thanks.
The opportunity we see, teach your team how to generate their own business.
The result, more time and energy back in your day so you can scale sans burnout.
Amplify by Not Nice Clever is the ace up your sleeve, a hands-on workshop full of replicable frameworks and actionable strategies that your team can put in place right away.
Your job? Sit back and let us work our magic.
Even CEOs need help sometimes. We've got you. Head to our show notes to get the deets. Hashtag outsourced.
And another tangible step that you can take right now is do a quick audit on your profiles. Look at your Facebook, look at your Instagram, look at your LinkedIn, wherever you are online, and read your bio. Look at your picture.
Out loud. Read it out loud.
Ooh, there you go. Check your links. By the way, we realized Not Nice Clever had a terrible link.
Oh, shit. Way to call us out, dude.
Yeah, well, I'm just always keeping it real here. We had a link that didn't even work. So like check your links and make sure that the experience that someone has when they land on your page is aligned with that base of the triangle that we talked about, those experiences slash experience and skills and expertise. Are they being demonstrated in an online space with the same intensity as they are if I met you in person, or if I went to your office and your friends were talking about you or your colleagues were sharing about you?
Right.
Is that showing up online? And a lot of times people find it to be braggy. That's why they don't want to do it. They're like, oh, but I'm going to brag. But if you're telling, maybe it sounds like bragging, but if you're showing,
proof's in the pudding,
just your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the pudding. And the other thing too, that I'll say here is that, because they'll compare, right? They're like, but I've already done it offline. Why does it feel different? Why does it feel weird? Why is it so, well, A, it's just new. It's a completely new medium that we are not like evolutionarily used to interacting with. And B, you know how people say like, in-person energy versus online. Yeah, it's probably easier to build a reputation offline than it is online this day and age. Now, I'm going to do the caveat of like, if you've been building it for decades, no, there, some young gun can't just come and roll into the community and have the reputation overnight, but he can if he's leveraging it properly online.
Yeah.
So I just, it's like the rules have changed. Like, and if you still want to play the game, adapt to the rules, because these are rules that are without our control, right? Yeah. What's within our control is, do we want to use them? Do we not want to use them? Up to you. But if you're telling me and Candace on calls that you want to use it, start with this triangle, right? Start with comparing, you know, what the perception is in your head versus what people see online.
I'm imagining right now the Clever Crew listener who is new to their industry and the pushback that they're going to give. They're like, okay, Candace, but you're saying that I have to have experience and knowledge and skills in order to build the perception. And wherever you are on your journey, whether you're new to your industry or you've been in your industry for 10 plus years, you should continue to be a learner. Mm-hmm. That's necessary 100% of the time. But if you're new to your industry and you're having difficulty building the perception of what it is that's possible, I want you to leverage other people within your industry. So I'll speak for a client that I have right now who's based in South Florida, who I adore, love working with, and is new to the business. He's new to real estate. Mm-hmm. And so we know that there are things that he doesn't yet know.
Yeah.
Just point blank. We know that. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to having knowledge and expertise, we operate through partnership. So online, we are showcasing where we want his business to go and grow. This is what we're showcasing. We're showcasing the price point that he wants to work in, the communities he wants to work in, mm-hmm. the events that he's going to and who he's mixing and mingling with, the country club that he's a part of. Like, we are building the perception, but we also understand that we might be lacking in the experience. So anytime there is business coming in, we're doing it in partnership with someone who has the experience. So he's saying, hey, I'm new, but I just got a client at this price point that I've never yet worked at, or this community I've never yet worked in. Mm-hmm. Can someone in my office at another brokerage tag team this one with me so I can learn from the process? Mm-hmm. Because he's not being arrogant and saying, oh, well, if they called me, I know everything. He's like, nope, I know I'm going to need to learn from someone who's been there before.
He knows how to market.
He knows how to market. Yep. But he knows, he also understands how important his reputation is. Mm-hmm. And so instead of acting like he knows everything, tag teaming, learning from that person, and eventually he'll do that for someone else.
Yeah.
3 to 5 years from now, right?
That's paying it forward.
It's paying it forward. And he's also being smart, because it is an investment. He's like sharing the listing or sharing, you know, the experience. So he's investing in that way, but the investment is protecting his reputation, because he's never taking on more than he is bringing to the table, mm-hmm. even if he's bringing it to the table in partnership. So we're always thinking about creative ways to ensure that you're able to show up for your clients in the way that you're promising.
Yeah. Again, being a problem solver. And I think that strategy of collaboration, which balances like your kind of unapologetic, I'm here, I want to do business, with the humility of, I don't yet know how to do this type of business, but I'm going to bring somebody in because they liked my personality enough to want to work with me. But let me also back up what I'm saying with also the experience, yes. and the action, right? There needs to be that congruence.
Yep.
The other thing that I really like to point out too, and I have a fairly good idea of who you're talking about, and he's probably blushing that we're talking about him on this episode, but I'll use him as an example, or anybody on here. If you are in a new industry, unless you're 15 years old and have not yet graduated high school, pretty sure you had a prior job, pretty sure you had a prior career, pretty sure you were the same human in that role as you are now. You just have different aspirations, goals, and professional ambitions, which is great. We love that growth for you. But you are still the same person. You still have the same personalities, the same intention, integrity, drive. Maybe you're a bit sarcastic, but maybe you are diligent and disciplined also. And I would, to your point, Candace, of talking about your experiences, right? Not just the relevant current professional experience, showing people how you've been very professional. You've risen to the occasion. You've never damaged a client relationship in your quote unquote past lives. The way humans are, they're gonna be like, oh, Candace is talking about how she was there. That's exactly how she's gonna treat me now, right? Even if it's in a different industry, that's just human nature for you. So I think the partnership, oof, yes, talk about collapsing time, but then also not being afraid to own it, because if you own it, nobody can use it against you, right?
Yeah. And just taking people along for the journey. If you're still studying, you're still being, you're still learning. Like, we just did an episode on how we're still new at podcasting and we went to a podcasting conference and we are learning in that space. It's okay to share as you go. Yeah. That doesn't discount your abilities.
Not at all.
No.
And honestly, the amount of people that have called out that I am transparent, that you and I are transparent in that, they're like, it's so refreshing to hear you don't have all the answers. I'm still going to ask you for everything because I know you're going to point me to somebody if you don't know the answer. I'm like, thanks, Richard.
Yes.
But yeah, you'd be surprised how refreshing it is.
You'd be surprised. People want to root for you. People want to cheer you on. And yeah. If you're not giving them anything to root for or cheer you on, or they can't see the transformation.
No wonder you feel alone.
That's less likely to happen. Yeah. I recently went to a conference and this man stopped me who I'd never met before, didn't know his name. I'd never talked to. Mm-hmm. And it was like, Candace, oh my gosh, it's so good to meet you in real life. I've been following you since the beginning. And in my mind, I was like, when do you think is the beginning? I was like, when is this beginning right. To you is what I was trying to think about in my mind. I was like,
which rebrand did he catch on to?
Yeah. Is this like 2020 Clubhouse days? Right. Is this, I don't know.
Teach for America
Vegas days. Women Connect days. Is this Teach for America? Like, what's the beginning to you? Because my beginning is so different. But I just love that he was so excited to talk to me just because he has seen the transformation. I don't even know exactly what that transformation is, but
yeah,
I thought it was interesting. This person I don't know wanted to stop and tell me that. Mm-hmm. So interesting. So let him in even you know, before you feel ready.
Let him in, guys, that you'd be surprised. Like, the haters will hate, but that's okay. Because if nobody hates you, then nobody loves you. Also, that's another one from Sun Yi. I'm just going to be like dropping those fortune. Yeah, that's what he said. He was like, if nobody hates you, nobody loves you. That reminds me of like another, like there was this neuroscientist being interviewed on Diary of a CEO, another great podcast you guys should watch. They're on YouTube. We will also be soon. Where she was saying she was a relationship psychotherapist and like she'd have couples come to her and the couples were like, we never fight. And then she's like, well, do you have sex? Like, how can you, like, you need to, like, if you don't have like passion and argument and debate, like there's no, anyway, I know we took that real personal as we're wrapping up this episode.
Yeah, I guess we'll leave you on that note. Remember that your online presence, your digital presence should be in alignment with your experience and experiences and your knowledge and expertise. Mm-hmm. Give yourself a quick audit to see if that is coming through in your social channels. And if you enjoyed this episode, as always, leave a 5-star review and share it with a friend. Thanks. Thanks for joining us on Not Nice, Clever.
Remember to follow our podcast wherever you listen to audio.
And if you found today's episode valuable, please share it with your friends.
No gatekeeping here. Remember, we love to see our clever crew grow.
Signing off, you're not so nice, but oh so clever besties that mean business.
See you soon.